Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
The Joanna Reardon Podcast. A Big Red Bench production for Cork's Red FM.
Hello and welcome back to the Joanna Reardon Podcast with me, Joanna Reardon. This week we interview Monaghan and GAA referee Martin McNally, where he talks about how he got into refereeing, his illness that took him out for the whole year last year, and everything else between. How's it going anyways with yourself? Like, I know you weren't well the last few months. You're feeling well?
Yeah, things are going well. I suppose I've been off the beat for about 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And my first game back was last weekend. I refereed a club semi-final in Monaghan. It was actually a replay, and to be honest with you, after I had done it, the body was quite tired after it, and that, you know, 7 week layoff, I'd done very little between that. Initially what happened was one Sunday morning, approximately 7 weeks ago, wasn't feeling the best, ended up going to hospital, got quite a bit of bad news as a result of a blood test on that Sunday.
Yeah.
And found out that I had a red blood cell problem diagnosed as spherocytosis, which was...
Thank God you pronounced it, because I was petrified.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I have to think about it. It's a bit of a tongue twister at times. But it was a red blood cell problem, and it caused me to have a lot of night sweats and stuff like that. And, you know, I lost a dramatic amount of weight. I lost over 2 stone in about 6 weeks, which was quite a lot, you know. And a lot of people said to me, you know, you don't have 2 stone to lose. I would disagree with them. But I definitely feel that, you know, I've definitely lost a lot of weight. So the plan for me is now, we actually got the email yesterday for the National Referees Fitness Test, which is on the 10th of January.
Okay.
So the next couple of months is going to be hard work building myself back up again.
And you're free to do that. Like, you're not held back medically.
Thankfully, I had an appointment in St. Vincent's, which is where I was.
Okay.
Last Monday, and the hematology team are very happy that my blood hemoglobin level is back up to a healthy level now, so I can get back. Now, you know, I don't go in all guns blazing at the start. You know, I gradually get into it, but, you know, that's what the next few months is going to entail for me, luckily enough.
I know. Good to hear that you're back, though. I was laughing when Maura texted you, being like, if you touch him, he'll explode. I was like, that's a tad bit dramatic, Maura.
She likes to be dramatic on occasions.
She's a doctor. That's her job. You just actually mentioned there your fitness testing for referees. Now, obviously, I look at you and I think, what goes into a referee? What goes into a referee? So you've got your fitness test. What are you assessing? Because I know someone said that you run, what, 9.8K per game? That's an insane amount of running. I wouldn't think that. No offense.
Yeah, and you know, that's the general consensus. Like, people do think that. You know, and on the in the program of both All Ireland, both the hurling and football finals, there was a really, really good piece of information. It was a 2-page part by a guy who does all the training and does all the science work with us. A guy called Aidan Brady from he's a postgrad student in DCU.
Okay.
And he does all our training with us out in Abbottstown.
So what's that? Just like, you're running nonstop, you're upping your fitness?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, the training is structured around, you know, what we're doing. And we could, say for talk's sake, we could be training on a Tuesday night. So he can go quite hard at that. So that'll be a lot of conditioning work, you know, where you're doing some very heavy running, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, if it's maybe on a Thursday or Friday night, it maybe doing stretching recovery over the Monday night after games, you know. But he will, you know, most of the time cut his cloth to suit his measure. But you know, and there's a lot of endurance running in it, sprinting, all that kind of stuff. But going back to what I mentioned there, so we have the test, which is on the 10th of January, and that is the Bangsbo yo-yo test, and we have to reach a level of 16.8 for it, for the league, and 17.4 when the championship comes around. So anyone who's done that before, like, I know a lot of intercounty players would have done that. That's, you know, it's a gauge of where your aerobic fitness is at. So anyone who has done that knows that it's quite a difficult level, and people would be surprised, you know, if you were to put the intercounty footballer or the club footballer in and ask them to do that, to hit 16.8, you know, I think you would get quite a shock to realise that, wow, this is what referees have to attain in order to be allowed referee. Now, fitness as a referee is a given. There's the whole other part and package of it that comes with it as well.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose, like, I'm kind of curious as to, like, you're growing up, you mentioned actually before we went on air, you played with your brothers in club level and things like that, and this is your first year, say, not playing and just being a referee. Why would you transition to be a referee knowing, like, the weird relationship players have with referees? Were you looking at this, like, fell in the middle going, jeez, I want a bit of that, like...
No, I got into refereeing by absolute accident. So in 2009, I suffered a bit of an injury, which left me out more or less for the season. It was a shoulder injury, so I wasn't allowed any contact sport. And a great club stalwart in our club called, no relation, but called Patsy McNally, asked me would I, you know, be interested in doing some refereeing. And my initial reaction to him was absolutely no way, you know, absolutely not a chance, you know, because I was one of those guys that, you know, probably didn't see refereeing in the light that I see it now. You know, I was very much the player. I wouldn't say mouthy, but, you know, I would take it to an edge maybe, you know. But 2009, and, you know, I was initially no, and then he came back at me again, and the county board, actually, to try and raise the amount of referees we had in the county board had brought in a policy that every club had to have refereed 20 games in order to get their affiliation of All-Ireland tickets.
Okay.
So that was kind of a carrot angle in front of the clubs in order to say, right, this is a problem for us, but we want you to sort it out. And he came back to me a second time, and it's very hard to say no to Pat. You know, he's such a real good man around the club. So eventually I said yes. I went to a referee's course in Monaghan and did the course and ended up refereeing juvenile football for that year, for the year of the 2009. Didn't do anything in 10 and 11. And then in 12, I got a call from the guy who was the referee's administrator in Monaghan asking, would I be interested in going back? And I hemmed and hawed about it. Didn't really, you know. So I kind of, things went, got very accelerated from there for me. You know, I was still playing with the club, you know, and I was loving it, you know, togging out every Sunday with my two brothers, you know, training, you know, the banter in the dressing room, you know, 25 or 30 lads twice or three times a week. And you know yourself what it is when you're in a crowd of people,
yeah.
You know. But 2012, you know, I got back into it and I ended up refereeing the Division 1 final on my first year back, the minor championship, you know. And then in 2013, I got the senior final, which was a massive occasion for me because, you know, it was, you know, the big, big game in the county. It went out live on TG Carr. And at 24 years of age, which I was at the time, it was quite a daunting thing to do. And, you know, from that, I was luckily enough spotted by a number of people on the Ulster panel. They brought me in 2013.
You literally got scouted.
I got scouted, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't think, you know, referees got scouted, not gonna lie.
Yeah, well, you know, like, you know, if a Cavan County final was on or an Armagh Tyrone, you know, I'd consider going to them. And there's quite a lot of people within Ulster and, you know, within... You know, the GA is one of them things that, you know, if there's a game on a Sunday, if there's nothing on within your county and you see there's something on 20, 30, 40, even 50 mile away, guys will jump in a car and they'll go, you know, that's just a thing. But I happened to be noticed anyhow. And 2014, I was brought into the Ulster panel.
What, like, this is such a stupid question, but what did you do that was so standout? Because I suppose normally the best thing for a referee is to not stand out.
I suppose the thing that made me stand out at the time was, number one, my youth, because there wasn't many young referees at that level at that stage. And I suppose the fact that I got through the game very, you know, very well in my eyes, you know, it showed that I was capable, had a bit of talent, you know, and was competent of doing big matches on big occasions. And, you know, that's, I suppose, what the... Now I know that. At the time I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
But now I know that. And, you know, I suppose that's what whoever was looking at me at the time kind of felt, that, oh, you know, this guy has a bit of talent. We, you know, let's pull him in. He might be a bit rough around the edges or whatever the case may be. But, you know, if we can get him to another level, you know, hopefully we can do that. And that's what happened. I got in 2014 and I ended up refereeing, you know, a number of McKenna Cup games, refereed McKenna Cup final. In Ulster, and then got on to the National League panel. And the National League panel was something that...
Did you have to do something extra to progress from McKenna to National League, or was it just a natural thing?
It was a natural thing, but obviously enough, when you move to the certain to the certain grades, you know, like there's different things that they will measure. So in Monaghan, you have a fitness test and you have a rules test and all that kind of stuff. The fitness test is a little reduced in Monaghan. Then it goes up another level in Ulster, and then it goes up another level again when you meet on the national.
Yeah.
So they're all givens. And, you know, if you can meet all that criteria, you know, it's the committee that's picking you is banking on your talent. So, you know, obviously, you know, when I was at Ulster level, they felt that, okay, this guy is quite decent, and, you know, we will consider pushing him forward for the national panel. And it's all down to, you know, people in the committee picking you, and they have to be picking you for the right reasons, and they do that, you know. And I got in onto the national panel, and it was a great learning curve. I had very young umpires with me, all guys that you know, did play with me. A few of them have quit playing since that. But I had quite a young team. We were quite a young team. Like, you know, I remember actually going to different venues, you know, and we'd walk in, and, you know, all my team's thing is you'd be there an hour and a half before throw in, and you'd go in and, like, everybody be looking around. Who's all these young guys? What are they doing in here? You know, because, you know, the by and large, you know, it's the guys who are doing it, bar the referee, you know, the umpires are generally, stereotypically, a little older, you
know. Generally, like the brother and uncle, isn't it?
Yeah, brother and uncle and that kind of stuff. But I would never, not in a month of Sundays, would I take any of my family members. Some guys have no issue with that.
Why?
I just wouldn't be comfortable with it. It's just a comfort thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say that they wouldn't be able to do it any better or any worse than who I have with me. But the guys who I have with me are genuinely interested in it. They love umpiring. They love getting around the country to see the different games. And they take their job really, really seriously. Like, you know, before games, like, we will, you know, I'm appointed to a match and I will let them know. And then we will have a little meeting before, you know, if we're heading off on a Saturday, we'll meet up on a Friday evening. Or, you know, if the game's on a Sunday, we'll meet up on a Saturday evening. And, you know, all referees out there now do take their job very, very, very seriously, you know.
Yeah. What do you do? Like, as in, what's a week look like if you're refereeing a game? So say it's a McKenna Cup final, Donegal and Tyrone or something like that. What do you do? So Monday, obviously, you're working out, you're doing your training. And then what do you do then for that whole week, you know, in terms of referee? Like, how do you prepare?
This is the first year that it has been a bit different for me. Before this, when I was playing, you know, I had my training, let it be on a Monday or Wednesday and Friday or a Tuesday and Thursday. And that would generally work with our college guys in Dublin, you know, and that kind of stuff with the club. And that kept me ticking over, you know. But this is the first year, I suppose, that I had to, you know, carry the can myself. I had no structure in the sense that I had no training at a specific time. I didn't have to be in Cardiff for training on the pitch for 10 to 8. Training starts at 8 o'clock, that kind of stuff. So this year was the first year where it was a bit different. So, you know, it was my own responsibility to do my gym sessions. It was my own responsibility to get out and do my aerobic work. And, you know, I found it a bit hard because it's easy to say no to yourself. Oh, no, sure, I'll do it tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
I'll do it tomorrow evening. But going back to your question, like, the weekend that I have a game, so if it's a Sunday game, for example, you know, I will generally be, Monday would be a free day, Tuesday would be quite a stiff enough training session, but generally would be an endurance type session, so a conditioning session where it's longer running. So I could be running for maybe 5 minutes, or I could be running hard for 30 seconds, running easy for 30, hard, that kind of stuff.
You're kind of recreating what a game
might look like. So that you're stopping, going, you know. And then on the Thursday, if I was doing a session, it would be a very short session. It may be a warm-up for 10 minutes. It could be a 10-minute intense sprinting session and a warm-down. And then on Saturday, you know, or on Friday or the Saturday, you go through a stretching session with yourself, or a stretching routine, that kind of stuff. And during that whole week, you would be very, very conscious of what you'd be eating. You know, you'd be making sure that you're hydrating well.
Yeah.
And you'd be sure that you're eating the right food, and you'd be actually preparing what you'd be eating on the Sunday morning before you head off to the game.
So would you have like pasta and chicken like any other international player?
Yeah. And you know, like, people, this is the part that people don't see. You know, we really attain the levels of the same as what inter-county players are doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, our preparation is very much the same. Now, I know club level has definitely nearly come up to that bar, especially in a lot of the bigger clubs. But, you know, our week, you know, revolves around that game coming around on Sunday. So that's what we do. Our sleep, making sure that we get to bed early at night, our food, our hydration, our training, etc., etc. You know, and it's, you know, it is a big commitment. But when you go out and, you know, it's like playing, when you go out on the Sunday and you deliver that performance, that really, really good performance, that when you walk off the field, that you're really content that you did the best possible job you could do.
Yeah.
To me, it definitely replaces what I was doing on the pitch before that, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a different kind of adrenaline rush, is it?
It's a different type of adrenaline rush, you know.
Because you know you're not, like, I'm not being rude, you're not going to kick a winner.
No, you're not going to kick a winner, you know. But, you know, you have a different circle of friends. You have your referee and colleagues, you have the committees in charge and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they all appreciate, like, this is the thing, you know. Before this, I was part of a team, Cardiff Football Club.
Yeah.
You know? Now I'm part of the refereeing club. You know, we are all part of the one team. So all the referees in my eyes are our team. And you have the guys at the top. We have a very, very good man at the top in Crow Park. We have a couple of good guys in Ulster, but we have a really good guy, new man in now, Donald Smith in Crow Park. And, you know, he's the manager of our team, you know. And, you know, there's nothing better than, you know, your own colleagues patting you on the back and saying, real good job there. No, but like everything else.
Do they do that? Like, anytime you hear referees talking about other referees, they're like, oh.
There's no doubt about it. Like in every team, like in the football team, there's 1 to 15.
Yep.
You know, and on every day you go out, if you have 25 players, you know, there's 10 players going to be disappointed that they haven't got chosen. And like that, we have 18 referees on the championship panel. And, you know, the committee sits down and they choose the guys. There may be only five big championship games on at the weekend, and only five guys get picked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the rest are going to be disappointed that they haven't, you know, but that's all performance pending, you know. Then the county that you're from, obviously you can't referee your own county and all that kind of stuff. So all them factors come into play. And we are definitely, you know, we are definitely like the players in Cardiff, we're definitely in competition with each other in order to get chosen for them games.
Yeah.
But we are also in it together. So say for talk's sake, I'm disappointed that I haven't gotten chosen to referee a game this weekend, but we'll say, we'll use your own county man, Conor Lane.
But I'm
doing a line for him. I have to make sure that as part of his team, I'm giving him the best possible support on the day. So, you know, that's the different things. You quickly get over your disappointment and you turn into the mode, right, I'm part of Conor's team this weekend and we have to make sure that we're kicking our own winners by making sure that we're getting every decision. So that may be red cards, black cards, a query over a point, was it over the bar, was it not over the bar, etc., you know.
Yeah.
And like everything else in life, you know, there's only 6 inches from a pat in the back and a kick in the ass, you know. And, you know, like, we are very, very aware of that. And we do have bad days. Like a player goes out and he has a bad day, like the free taker goes out and nothing goes over the bar from etc. We are prone to bad days, but by and large, you know, the good days generally outweigh the bad days. And, you know, on them good days, you know, really do get the kick, because you're going out in front of thousands of people. You can't not but get the adrenaline rush, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just talk to me about, like, game day in general. So, like, say a game's on at, say, 2 o'clock and it's on RT.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your thing before a day? So you obviously meet up with your crew, you go to the game.
Yeah, generally my crew come to the house. So we'll use Crow Park, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They'll generally come to my house. We'll all have our own food in our house and that, because, like, you don't want to be stopping, breaking, you know, you don't know what you're going to meet going up the road, etc. But we will generally aim to be in Crow Park for about an hour and a half before throw in.
Okay.
And when we get to Crow Park, you know, we will have a pitch walk. The umpires will kind of break away from me and I will speak to the linesman and that. And
what are you telling the linesman then? Are you like,
this? Like I mentioned there earlier, you know, I have already given my umpires their brief.
Yeah.
So I don't really need to talk to them, bar the stern reminder before we go out.
So what have you
field.
Said to the umpires? You've said, this is what I want. I just want you to do the points. If you see anything dramatic.
Yeah. And even, you know, we get advised in games, or assessed, as some people call it.
Yeah.
And we may review that in our little meeting on the Friday or the Saturday night before that. And we'll say, okay, right, well, we were, you know, this was something that the advisor pulled on us last day. This is something we need to be aware of, not overly conscious of it, but aware of, and try and make sure that we rectify anything that we didn't get properly. And the stuff that we've been doing well, make sure we maintain that as well, that we don't take the foot off the gas in that sense as well.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, I would be kind of repeating the same to the linesman, but by and large, you know, I would be, you know, briefing them on what I want. And no two referees are the same in what they want. Some guys are comfortable with giving an instruction for one thing, and other guys say, no, I want to do that myself, you know. So
yeah.
it all depends on the referee and what he's comfortable with.
What do you prefer?
What do I prefer? That's a good question. I suppose
from your linesman now, let's take a game out of it. So you're saying to your linesman, I only want you to do this, this, and this.
Yeah, well, what I would be, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying any of this, but you know, anyone who's been, any linesman that's
been, it'll be me who'll be getting the phone call.
any linesman that'll be with me, you know, like I would generally tell them, you know, they pick up, we have a routine of picking up decisions. So one man is watching stuff that he's watching the same as what I'm seeing. So I have someone to refer to that if I need a consultation on a decision, if I haven't seen it clearly. Then the other man's watching my back. You also have two other guys watching my back, as in the umpires.
Yeah.
And that's the start of the brief. Then I would tell them, you know, that they can kind of referee the game 5 or 10, 15 yards in on the field. So that means if there's two guys, you know, kind of jostling with each other 5 or 10 yards, that they can have a word.
Okay, I didn't realise they had patches to kind of cover. Like that you'd say 5 yards within the sideline, you can tell me what's going on.
Well, that's my brief, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know... you know, you have this thing of, you know, players squaring up to each other and that kind of stuff. And my belief is that if we can communicate and we can put all these, what I call small little fires that are going off around the field, if we can put them out, you know, by and large, the big stuff won't come.
Yeah. I can hear my dad in the back of my head seeing two fellas square up and it all blowing over and going, well, the referee let that happen.
Yeah. And, you know, like, you know, a lot of it is a lot about nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter that we're on top of things. And the other big thing for me, like, you know, is that if there is something technical, and by and large this is against the rule, but if there is something technical and a linesman is 150% sure that I've gotten it wrong and the play has broken, the play has stopped, I would like to know about that, because my motto and my attitude is, like, I don't really care how I get things right as long as I get it right.
Yeah.
And if at all possible, I want to get that right in the now, as in when the game is.
I was
going
to say, you'd love VAR, like, yeah. 5 minutes down there going, oh.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, but like you know, there's ways and means of getting things right, you know. And, you know, I often say, like, you know, if there is something that happens in a game and I consult, or a referee consults, you know, and they exhaust every single avenue to try to make sure they get it right. Like we have, like in Crow Park, you have Hawkeye, you know, you have so many different bits and pieces of technology to help you. But when you're in Clonus, you don't have any of that, you know?
Yeah.
And
so I was going to ask you, like, the difference, like surely in Croke Park, you can be like, okay, if my umpire misses that point, it'll be sorted within like 3 seconds. Hawkeye will ring in and say,
yeah.
Does Hawkeye ring into you?
The protocol for us is that we call Hawkeye.
Okay.
So
you're convinced it doesn't go over, that's it.
Yeah, well, if one of my umpires said, right, I'm not sure if that's over or it's not, if there's any type of doubt, the protocol is that we call Hawkeye. So you can see them making the signal.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I call the Hawkeye official, and, you know, they adjudicate on whether it's a point or a wide.
So then you take, say, go back to Clonus.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have Hawkeye. Are you a little bit more fine-tuned to watching just in case?
That's where my brief slightly changes with the linesmen.
Yeah.
And I'm asking them, guys, if it's, you know, if it's a real sunny day, which championship football is, or that kind of stuff, umpires can get caught out. And I would say to the linesman, guys, you know, if at all possible, try and work yourself into a position that if the umpires are caught, I can come back to you.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes the referee or either of the linesmen may have a better view than what the umpires had. Now, them type of scenarios are quite rare now, because our umpires, you know, the training that Crow Park have given us is very, very good. It's of a very high standard. And, you know, by and large, umpiring mistakes in Gaelic football are fairly few and far between. And if a mistake does happen, you know, we're generally cool and calm enough to pause for a second and say, okay, do we need to have a chat with the linesman, or, you know, let's just hold on a second.
I was going to say, what happens when there's two, like, squabbling umpires? Because normally you see in the referee stand there like, oh, my back was turned.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but, like, you can just see the two fellas, like, going, no, Jerry, I think this is this. Oh, no, Johnny.
Yeah, that would be an awkward situation.
Are you just standing there going, oh, for the love of God, will you just make a decision? Because then you have a player coming over and screaming at you.
Yeah, exactly. And,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of the thing, you know, like, you will have that. You'll have a goalkeeper waving wide, and it's wide ref, it was wide. wide, it was wide, you know, and then yeah. that was a point, that was a point, it was over, that kind of stuff, you know. And I suppose when we're trying to get a decision like that made, it's important that we isolate ourselves from everything that's going on. So we take a step back. You
so
know,
you wouldn't even like,
away.
Like, I'm not saying you wouldn't ask the player, but you wouldn't literally like, you'd be not paying attention to the player whatsoever. Like, you wouldn't care.
Like they could if, be, you, if you were refereeing me and you asked me for a decision, would you trust me?
But if you if they were like screaming in your ear, like, how are you blocking that out? Like, that's what I'm wondering.
You take a moment.
He doesn't influence you whatsoever. I don't mean that in a bad way, but like,
no,
if
he doesn't. No, like,
at me,
like the training we have got, like the training we have got, like we've seen many clips in Croke Park where guys have been under pressure, and we have been given, you know, techniques on how to deal with that. You know, how to isolate ourselves from a situation and how to be calm. You know, and by and large, you know, if you can isolate yourself from the group of players or get them to just back off,
yeah,
you know, and some guys like some players will really appreciate, guys, we just need a moment, you know, we just need a moment to get this right here, you know, and by and large, they will put their hand up in acknowledgement and say, yeah, okay, we'll give these guys a moment here.
Would you ever then go to say that player and be like, this is why I gave that decision?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like any player that asks us a question deserves an explanation as to why we've made a decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, we may have got it right or we may have got it wrong, but he deserves an explanation. And once he gets that explanation, you know, I think most players are quite happy with that, you know.
I was going to say, you generally find then they're like, oh, fair enough.
Like, you know, as a player myself, I would have always liked an explanation as to why. And, you know, as a player, or sorry, as a referee, you're also an educator, because a player may come across a rule or a situation that may never have happened to them before, and you explain it and he goes, oh, right, I never knew that before.
Okay.
You know, and the big one out there now.
What's the most prominent rule that they're like, oh?
The big one I find that players are still not fully clear on is the square ball.
Okay.
Because you hear so many players saying, ref, there's no square ball, there's no square ball. But there is a square ball, you know, and I suppose I'll explain it. You know, so from open play, a player can't enter the square. So it's a bit like the offside rule. That's how I explain it to them. It's like the offside rule. Until the ball is kicked, you may not enter from open play.
Yep.
And then from set play, it's the old rule. So you can't be in the square before the ball. And, you know, I've blown a number of square balls where the player has kicked the ball out the field from open play and your man's camped inside the square on top of the goalkeeper. And they're said, there's no square ball, ref. You know, there's no square ball. But, you know, then when you do give them, they're like, oh, right, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But in Monaghan this year, we had a very, very worthwhile exercise in my eyes. At the end of July, we had a rule seminar. David Coldrick come up.
Okay.
And myself and the referees administrator in Monaghan organised it. And we pulled in all the coaching staff from all the junior, intermediate and senior clubs. So all the managers and coaches were in, and we showed them clips and we went through rules and stuff like that with them. And it was a very, very worthwhile exercise because a lot of the managers that night said, I never knew that, or I didn't know this, or I didn't know that. And, you know, the big thing is,
what
like,
was their most, was it different to the players in their most common, like,
sorry?
What was their most common, like, kind of red, like, messy area, you know?
I suppose the big thing was, like, the tackle, you know, what we will allow on the tackle and on the black card, you know, they were like, what are definitions, what we're looking for when we're looking for a yellow card or a black card? What is rough and the notings and all that kind of stuff, you know, and that was the basic stuff. And then you have the match regulations where you have what a manager is allowed to do, mirror foreign, yeah, substitutions, all that kind of stuff. We went through them, but you know, we got so much positive feedback after it, you know, and they were delighted because a coach out on the training field, you know, he's the educator. And if you're out on the field and you're coaching a team and you're allowing a guy, for example, to pick the ball up of the ground, in training, and as a coach you don't pull him in a condition game or something like that, and you don't pull him and say, no, you can't do that, make sure you have the toe underneath that every time, or, you know, actually you properly hand pass the ball, that there's a striking action, that kind of stuff. If you're not pulling that as a coach, you know, your players aren't going to get away with it in a game, you know. So we felt it was a very worthwhile exercise because we were educating the educators in our eyes, you know.
Do you think that should be done across all counties, like that someone, like either a top referee, like, so say a Conor Lane, a David Goldrick or David Goff or whatever, say from football, that you should all go into whatever county and say, look, what would, like, should you do that kind of educating thing?
I definitely think it's worthwhile. I can only speak from the experience that I had with what happened in Monaghan back in July. And it was so positive because everybody took something out of it. You know, if the only, like, all them meetings, they're very hesitant about going to them meetings, coaches and stuff like that, because they say, oh, this is going to be a waste of time and blah, 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 blah. But if them coaches can leave that meeting with only one or two things, I think it's been a success, you know?
Yeah.
And I definitely do think it's something that could be rolled out nationwide, because, you know, if you look at the Premier League, where the referees and the managers all come into the one room, and I remember reading a piece about Howard Webb and Alex Ferguson, how they got into a bit of a standoff in a meeting one day about...
That doesn't surprise me.
But, you know, and you know, it sometimes it's good for everybody to come into a room and trash things out, you know, and you know...
Did you find that some of the managers were standing up and saying, I totally disagree with that, and you're like, well, the rule's the rule.
Yeah, like, we had one funny one where a guy stood up and he said, like, you know, Alan Fair, David Coldrick was very quick with the tongue in his response, but, you know, one guy said, oh, well, sure, you know, you wouldn't be getting a yellow card in hurling if that was in hurling, you know. And David said, well, you know, we're actually adjudicating on football here tonight, you know. But, yeah, look, I definitely think it's something that we need to look at, you know, because, you know, if our coaches don't know the rules.
Does it build a weird relationship, but does it build a sense of like, okay, I can yell at Martin. Martin, I disagree with that decision. Martin can say, well, I told you this is why it's wrong. Does it build up that kind of a relationship? I know you don't want a relationship, but what I'm saying is, does it build an ease? I suppose a better communication channel is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I suppose that night we had our own club referees in the room as well, but none of the club referees, bar myself, who is a club referee in Monaghan, but I wasn't, you know, actively taking part in it as such. I was in and out of the meeting. But, you know, we had our club referees as well. So the idea is that all our club championship referees and the managers and coaches were in the room at the one time, and everybody was getting the same message. And the idea is that everybody was leaving the room with the same message. But the fact that when we took David Coldrick in to present and instruct and give the directives, that took any of the, I suppose, the grievances that some club managers would have with club referees out of the whole equation. So I suppose, in answer to your question, the tidiest way of doing it and the best way of doing it is, for example, that if it's going on in Cavan, that I go to Cavan and a Cavan referee comes to Monaghan, or if it's going on in Cork, you take a Kerry referee across to Cork and the Cork man goes to Kerry. And that takes out any grievances that a manager may have with a club referee.
I was going to ask you, is there different styles? So, like, for example, I remember now, like, obviously I live in Cork all my life and I'm so used to Cork referees now at this stage.
Okay.
And I
remember, who's your favourite Cork referee, by the way?
It's Ovs Conor Lane, like, represent. But no, I remember I went, in 2015, I was asked back to Clarny Legion, and I remember I went to a few of their games, and I remember the running joke was, you'll never find a black card in Kerry.
Yeah.
Now, I've been going to Kerry, like, a few Clarny Legion games now for 4 or 5 years now. Mm-hmm. I have never seen a black card. Yeah. I don't know if it's because I'm going to the wrong games.
Maybe you were just lucky.
I don't know.
Or unlucky, one or the other.
There's been some instances where I'm looking and I'm like, Christ, that's a black card now. Like, and then you'd hear the Kerry fella for you going, yeah, he doesn't know what a black card is in the first place.
Who took in that black card? I think it was some guy in my club, but anyhow, I can't think of what his name is anymore.
I do remember this for you, of sore memories now, but I remember Brian Sheehan was through on goal and I remember yelling, just pull him down for that county final in 2015, and no one would pull him down in case he got a black card. And I remember someone said afterwards, a Legion fella smart going, you wouldn't have got it anyways because they don't know what it is.
Yeah, there is different styles, and you know, I suppose, you know,
is it reflective of the style of football that's going on in that county? Does that make sense?
Some of it is, yeah. Some of it is, and some of it's to do with, I suppose, maybe a club versus inter-county referee style. Club referees, you know, are generally on first name terms of most of their club players, and they know them well, and they're refereeing them nearly every second week and that kind of stuff. And some guys find it hard, and you know, and then you'll have the thing that used to be fired, you know, as me as an inter-county referee, is like, oh, well, such and such as in the Kerry-Cork game last weekend didn't give a black card, so why should we give black cards? And it maybe was a black card or something like that,
yeah.
You know, and that comes down to us just making a mistake, you know. We all make mistakes, but there is different styles and there is different guys with beliefs out there, you know, and I find in my own county there's guys out there refereeing very, very good club referees, very capable, very competent guys. But sometimes not in the month of Sundays would you see them giving a black card because they simply don't believe it. And you know, that's a bit sad for me. You know, it's hard because you know, there's a set of rules there, and we all have to adhere to them. You know, and you know, if I'm you know, going after an opposition player and I pull him to the ground, I'm expecting to get the black card and expecting to be sent off. And when I don't get that, you know, I'm delighted, but I can be very sure that the opposite team are very aggrieved over that. You know, and you know, it's probably something. It is something that's out there. It's something that we maybe need to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But how we tackle it, I'm not exactly sure how we do tackle it.
Why wouldn't they believe in it? Like, what would their issue be? Take the black card now, for instance.
Just maybe a little bit of old school, you know, little bit of old school where they just like it tough and hard, and they don't believe in the black card. They see it as a bit of a soft type punishment, you know, like they like to just look. Let's just get on with it, you know. Maybe a bit of a hurling attitude, you know, if you want to put it like that.
Are there dual referees?
You know? There are dual referees. Not at inter-county level.
No, obviously, but do you think that there's... If you've a dual club referee, that they're maybe a bit more easier on the swing in football than what?
Yeah, well,
there's
one dual referee in Monaghan, and I remember Seamus McNeely, the Banty, he was managing us on this particular year, you know, and
I get nightmares thinking about this.
But yeah, he gave us a bit of a speech before we went out, and he said, lads, look, you know, there's no point in looking for frees here today. You just get up, you get on with it, and you play hard and you play fair. Because this referee only blows the whistle twice in the game at half time and full time, and you know, and that was and it was by no fault, it was just that he was just in the hurling mode. Now, that's quite inaccurate. He did blow freeze during the game.
Yeah.
But the hurling guys,
like no blood, no foul kind of vibe.
Yeah, kinda like that. Yeah. Put it to you like this, with hurling referees you have to make sure you earn your free.
Fair enough. You know. I'm sure Richie Hogan's listening in going, no, I totally disagree with that. That was Martin McNally talking about how he got into refereeing and the illness that took him out of his favourite thing in the world for the whole year last year. Next week, we talk to Martin about the different styles in refereeing and everything else in between, and rules officiating and all that jazz. Cheerio!
The Big Red Bench.
Game on!
Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.